Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, the Hall of Famer, Burt Blylevitt. Remember that was an ESPN thing, right? That was Chris Berman.
Yes, that was Chris Berman. Mike, how you doing?
Good, man. I miss you though.
Well, thank you. I miss you too.
Yeah, I do. I miss you up here, and I miss you sitting in the dugout with you and all that stuff. But we got some other things we got to talk about right now, Burt. What the heck? Let me ask you this. You pitched for a long time. You've coached. You've done it all. What is the, you know, Wes Johnson's leaving tomorrow. Today was his last game. What is expected from a pitching coach, and how important is he to the team, or does it vary a great deal from team to team based on how they delve up the responsibility?
Well, you know what? I hate to see Wes go. It was a decision I know that, you know, was tough to make, I believe, for him. But going to LSU, where he's back at the college level, where I think, you know, he feels very comfortable. I understand that, you know, the family issue was also there. He put God and his God first, his family second, and baseball third. And I think, you know, with the article that I read, I did not talk to Wes. I will in time. I have his number. I'll congratulate him because it's something that I think was close to his heart that he wanted to get back into the college level. I think he had to look at the financial part too, and also family. So he did a great job while he was in a Twins uniform. I think we have to think of that, and hopefully the new pitching coach, whoever that might be, you know, does as well as Wes Johnson did.
Well, what does a pitching coach do on a daily basis? Describe how it works.
You can't describe what a pitching coach can do to make you better. You know, yes, be positive. Everything, because, you know, baseball basically, Mike, can be a negative game.
Yeah.
You know, like say, you know, what Chris Archer went through today, you know, walking seven in four innings or eight, whatever it was, but it was just a bad outing. Well, you need a pitching coach to say, hey, you know what? Let's go back to square one. My first pitching coach was Marv Grissom. I think I was able to pitch for 22 years because I listened to him, and he changed a couple things on my delivery when I was 19 years old, throwing across my body. He opened me up. He brought a folding chair down and said, you've got to hit to the left of this folding chair, because I was throwing the baseball like a javelin thrower. I was landing on my heel, and I was 19. I had a strong arm, but if I did not correct my delivery, I probably would not have been able to pitch as long as I did. And, you know, I did ask him when he put that folding chair where my foot was landing. I said, well, Marv, what happened, Mr. Grissom? I said, what happens if I land on that chair? He said, well, then you'll break your damn neck, won't you? So he opened,
figure it out, son, huh?
That's old school. You know, he opened me up to where my delivery, my chest and my right arm was going toward the catcher's glove rather than down the third baseline. So just little things like that. you know, through 22 years, I had a lot of different pitching coaches, and they were all positive. I can think of my last one. I had Marcel Latchman with the Angels. He was such a good pitching coach. And there's 13, but back then there were maybe 9-10 guys on a staff. And the pitching coach needs to know the personality of every different pitcher he has. And with guys going up and down, the communication you have to have with them, if they get sent down, what do we think you need to work on to stay up here on a regular basis? I myself, I was very fortunate to have not only a great pitching coach, I had guys like Jim Perry, Jim Cott, Louis Tion, Dave Boswell, all guys that kind of mentored me when I first came up. So it's not only the pitching coach that can help you. It's Sonny Gray's now that is a veteran on the ball club. The Bundys that can help, you know, these young kids get through these tough times you're going to have. You're going to have bad outings. It's how you come back from that.
So what would concern you the most about changing pitching coaches right now?
I don't think there's going to be a concern. I think the players are your major league players. You should know what you have to do. You know you need to work out. You need to run. You need to control, you know, the fastball. You need to attack the strike zone. You need to be aggressive on the mound. I don't think you need a pitching coach to tell you that. It's just sometimes now with the videos and all that stuff, you can go in a back room without a pitching coach and look at yourself, your delivery, and say, you know, maybe I should try to do this. You have to communicate with the other pitchers, too, on your ball club, because sometimes, like Frank Viola, for example, he was my best friend, you know, when I was with the Twins the second time around, as Cotton, Perry, and Tion Boswell were, Ron Paranowski, Stan Williams. You pick their brains, and you see, well, how were they so successful? And what can I implement that into my, say, pitching routine?
Okay, so it looks like it's not the starters, it's the relievers right now for the Twins. Emilio Pagan struggles. Today they had a bad error in the eighth inning that tied it up, and then the walk-off home run. From what you see, do you go out and get a couple of relievers via trade? What do you do here to shore that up?
Well, you know what, Mike, the big thing, I'm not a firm believer in 100 pitch count. You know, starters need to go deeper in the ballgame.
Extend them to start with and you get a better bullpen, right?
Well, amen. You can't, guys are just getting overused out there. Duffy had a great outing today. I'm sure they thought, let's try one more, but then I don't know how many pitches he threw in the 2 or 3 days prior to his great outing today. So, you know, it's managing the bullpen is probably the hardest thing, I think, for any pitching coach. Your starters, hey, if they can go 6 or 7, like you just mentioned, the bullpen's going to be a lot better.
Do you? Are there many starters that you can acquire that are good relievers or not? Are most starters have a tough time converting to being a reliever?
I think most of the guys in the minor leagues, to get to the big leagues, you probably have to be a starter. Mm-hmm. I know in my era, you have to be a starter. You know, when I came up, we had an 8 or 9 man pitching staff, 4 starters, you know, 2 guys that were long men out of the bullpen waiting for one of the starters to break down.
Yep.
And then you maybe had, you know, Stan Williams and Ron Paranowski as the setup and closers. But it's a little different today. You know, you're trying to keep everybody healthy out there. That's the main thing, you know, and not overuse them. But because starters only now today go 4 or 5 innings, you expect 4 or 5 innings out of, you know, those other 7 to 9 players out there. And that's tough night after night.
Bert Blylevin, our guest, do you believe that a closer is the easiest way to run your relief staff, a defined closer as opposed to a closer by committee? I mean, you know, your last time here, you had Terminator and Jeff Reardon, and you know, you saw Aguilera, you felt like it was lights out, and Nathan. Do you believe that's important or not?
Oh, very important. You know, I think everybody in that bullpen needs to know what role they have. And I think with the way that the starters are going less innings, everybody is put into different roles that they may not feel comfortable with. You know, so do they have a closer right now, the Twins? I don't know if they do or not. He's kind of closer by committee, and also the scoreboard dictates who comes in.
Yeah, and they could be fine, but they got a closer named Taylor Rogers. That's doing okay in San Diego, I guess, if they stayed with him. But understanding there's a lot of reasons why they traded him, et cetera. Two other topics I want to go over as long as we got you on the line. What will it be like when Jim Cott and Tony Oliva step up to give their speech at the Hall of Fame? What is that like for a baseball player?
I'm so excited for them. You know, it took me 14 years. To get into the Hall of Fame, and my numbers didn't change. Taking these guys a lot longer. Tony Oliva, I think one of the most feared hitters in the American League throughout his tenure. Sad that his, knee gave out and he had so many different surgeries. But I think you ask anybody at the Hall of Fame, with the game on the line, who would you not want to face? And I guarantee you, of the five guys they might name, Tony Oliva's name would be in there.
Yep.
For Jim Cott, well overdue, 283 wins, all the gold gloves, the, long tenure he had. And he finally getting into the Hall of Fame as a player. He probably should have been in a long time ago as a broadcaster.
Sure.
Because he took not only his playing career into the booth, he did such a great job, and he still does.
Yeah, for sure. And when you step up there and you realize, behind you, there's the commissioner and the greats of the great, is it nerve-wracking? How did you feel?
I felt comfortable because my mother was there.
My
father had passed.
Yep.
I got my wife, Gail, and my mother some roses, and they were sitting in that front row, some flowers. And I basically spoke to them, as I'm sure Tony will speak to his family members and also Jim Cott.
What's it like when you look around and see the best in the world around you and know that you're on that team?
Well, first of all, do I really belong here?
And is that what you think?
Of course. You're talking about some of the greats of the game. I know when I first came up, I met the team back in 1970. I met them in Boston at Fenway Park. And I remember my first day in a big league uniform walking out and looking at that Fenway Park and thinking, Babe Ruth played here. Dick Williams played here. The greats of the game played here. Mantle hit in this stadium. And you just, you were just overwhelmed by, the excitement of not only being the big leagues, but such a great ballpark in Fenway Park. And it's still the same as it was back in 1970 when I came up.
You covered some ground last week when you were in town, including playing some memorable golf. I ran this on the news last week, and generally speaking, I try to verify everything, and I gave you a very liberal benefit of the doubt, a picture that was sent to me from Eric Curry, and it was a picture of you circling yourself with a hole-in-one, and I said on the news, I would like to see some video or at least one more witness, but I'll go with this. What happened? You honestly got a hole-in-one?
There was a doctor friend there, too.
Okay.
So we had two witnesses there. And this is my second lifetime hole in one. I'm glad I did it in front of Eric Curry because I was one up on him. We play a little game. No, not for money. We just play a little
game. No, just for fun. Yep.
Yeah, just who wins certain holes. And I was up a couple. Then he birdied a hole. And then we came to that par three on number seven. And it went right at the darn pin. It was over a trap. I didn't see it go in, but we thought, and Eric ran over there, and he was more upset than excited for me because now I was up by two. So and I ended up beating him by five. If Eric's listening, you're easy, Eric, always.
Yep.
But it was my second career hole in one. It took me 15 years to get my second.
Now, did he see it go in? Did you see it? Or did he just think, boy, that might have because I don't see it?
Well, we all three thought it's right at the pin.
Yeah.
But you don't know, So once we got the cart up there, and Eric actually ran out before I did, and I brought my putter because I thought, it probably, maybe it went past the hole. But
yeah.
The darn thing was right in the cup. So
just like you planned it, yeah.
You got to be lucky. Yeah.
Now, you also played a round of golf with Tommy Kramer and Governor Ventura. What on earth was that like?
Well, the hole-in-one was at
Olympic Hills, right?
Olympic Hills, yeah. Yes. Beautiful golf course. And then the next day I got to play TPC, which is just as beautiful, along with Tommy Kramer and Jesse. the body, the governor, yeah. Ventura. I'd met him in the past, and I'd met Tommy about a year ago, and two great gentlemen, and it was an honor to play with him, and a guy named Buddy Becker.
I know Buddy, yeah.
There, Davis.
Yeah, I know Buddy,
he
yeah.
had a son, yeah. He had a son, Davis, yeah. out there, and we just had a great time. It took us about 6 hours to play because every hole, Jesse Ventura held court. So, you know,
what kind of stuff was he? Was he giving the state of the state? Was it politics? Was it golf? Was it what?
It was everything. Everything in life. Jesse's such a good man, and I've always admired him, and as I have Tommy Kramer, and we just had a great time. Just beautiful, beautiful day. The weather was warm. It was beautiful.
And Tommy basically sat in agreement with Jesse, or does he pontificate as well?
I'm sorry, what was that?
I said, does Tommy ever hold court, or is he just willing to listen to Jesse?
I think we all listened to Jesse, yes. Jesse was in charge.
Well, you guys didn't have any laughs then, did you?
Oh, we laughed every hole. It wasn't really golf. It was just getting to, you know, just laugh and reminisce. And I remember Jesse way back when I was there in Minnesota, we were doing a Make-A-Wish it was a fundraiser for Make-A-Wish, and I was sitting at a table, and just so happened in the center of the table there was a little jar that had a couple goldfish in it, and I bet everybody $100 at my table that if I swallow a goldfish, will everybody donate $100 to Make-A-Wish Foundation?
Sure.
So everybody agreed. There might have been six or seven people there, and Jesse was at the table behind me, and he heard it, and of course he said, "Hey, you, Bert." He said, "If you eat two goldfish, I'll throw out a 500. Of course, I swallowed two goldfish. So
did you really?
We raised some good money for Make-A-Wish.
And he paid up, right?
Yes, he did. Yes, he would always pay up.
How'd the goldfish end up doing?
I think they're still in there.
I think so, too.
Swimming around. Yeah, so,
they're doing something, man. No, hey, Bert, always appreciate it, buddy. Good to visit with you. Mike, I miss you.
Mike, they're in there with the night crawlers, right? Too, so.
I bet they are, man. We'll put a hook down there, see what we can do. Next time I see your proctologist. No. All right, buddy. Good to talk to you.
Thank you, Mike. Best to the Twins and everybody up there in Minnesota. And the five-state area.
You got it. Bert Blylevin, the one and only, the Hall of Famer on WCCO. He was talking about Jesse, and of course, Jesse, professional wrestler. I haven't talked to Chris Tubbs since they had the big showdown, the SmackDown here at Target Center. And I got to tell you, there was a point in time there where I was incredibly concerned for a local. Chris knows more about wrestling than I do, but I got to bounce this off him because I was just so concerned for his safety and his health. And I wondered what protocols they have in place. You know, when something goes awry inside or outside the ring, I'm going to ask him about that because this is very specific, but it was a really, really scary situation. And I'll see if I can get some clarification from him when we come back. Chris Tubbs, I haven't talked to you for a bit. A couple weeks ago, they had the SmackDown here at Target Center. It made its way. And one of the feature pieces was Mike Rollis. And Mike's an Edina kid, played for the Gophers. We had him on with Pete Najarian, and I recently have known Mike and his family for years. And he gets into it pretty good in this match. And I don't remember who he was up against. I don't know that I saw it because I was watching it while I was on the radio, and I didn't see didn't hear the play-by-play. But at one point in time, he's thrown out of the ring, and he's laying there, and he looks just dazed. And no one is going in to give him medical attention or to check to make sure that he's okay. And I'm thinking, at what point does somebody step in here and say, "Hey, give me some smelling salts. Let's see how he's doing." It never happened. Now he was able to get back up, not just to his feet, but he actually was able to get back in the ring and win the match. But I worried for his safety, and I thought, well, what did they do when he's laying there?
If it's a serious injury, Maxie, they've got a ringside doctor that will come and
there is a ringside doctor at all these.
Yeah, there is a ringside doctor that is there. In case it's more than just your typical selling, you know, trying to, "Oh yeah, I'm really hurt, Dave's whatever." If it's really bad, what they'll do, if it's something that they need to end the match, or if it's bad enough, you'll see them hold up an X. And if you see an X being held up, that means that it's a legit injury that the individual can't continue.
Are you suggesting to me that he may not have been injured, that he was just playing the role?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Madcap Moss.
It's Madcap, yeah. I said Mike Cross. I meant Madcap. I don't know who Mike is.
Breaking kayfabe. Yeah. Sorry, breaking kayfabe. Oh, man. Yeah, he may have been embellishing the beating at the hands of Happy Corbin.
Is that who it was? Corbin?
I was... They've been going at it for months, and WWE's not creative enough to give us something new. And I was actually like being delayed on my way back from LA, so I'm guessing it was Baron Corbin.
Who it looked a little bit like Baron Von Raschke's grandson. You know, that's kind of the look he had.
Yeah, kind of a tall, gangly guy with a bald head. Yeah, that's Baron Corbin.
Well, I was just worried for Mike's health and Madcap. I mean, it's good to hear that there is a chance that he was never really injured. Because he did come back, get back in the ring, bounced around just fine, and threw, what's his name, Baron Corbin?
Baron Corbin, yes. Yeah. But I think that just shows the perseverance that he was taught at the University of Minnesota.
There you go. There you go.
Resiliency.
It doesn't matter if he's hurt or not. He was going to get back on his feet and win that match.
Going to fight for the people of Minnesota, Skyuma.
Oh, I feel so much better now. I was worried about Madcap for the last couple weeks. I wanted to bring this to your attention.
You can sleep now, Max.
Yes. When we come back, Theo John, what did he do? I played at Champlain Park, then Marquette, and then, the last year he spent with Duke and Mike Krzyzewski, and now he's eyeing a career in the NBA and professional basketball. He is our guest next on Sports to the Max. Welcome back. Bringing you the best guests we can, talking about the most relevant topics. That's what we do every night here. Joining us right now, Theo John, from Champlain Park High School to Marquette University to Duke, and now preparing for a professional career. He joins us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Theo, thank you for joining us.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for having me.
Take me back. You, Champlain Park, you and McKinley Wright, those were the days, as they say. You guys put on a show there for quite some time, Theo.
No, definitely. It was a lot to say, the good old days. You know, me and McKinley got a lot of memories and a lot of Champlain Park prior. We're going with that.
Now, the two things that have entered into college sports in a big way are NIL and transfer portal. So you go to Marquette, and you're well-intentioned to play throughout, and who'd have thought COVID comes in, grad transfer option comes in, and all of a sudden you get a call one day from an assistant coach that you knew from your days at Marquette, and it's Duke reaching out to you saying, hey, man, you got 1 year of eligibility left. You're in the portal. If you want in, we want you. Tell me what that was like to have Duke call you.
Man, it was crazy. I mean, it was a surreal experience. I mean, everybody dreams of getting that call from Coach K, whether they admit it or not. And, you know, to be able to have that, and like you said, COVID ended up being a backhand blessing. You know, just being able to be down there, be on the coach and his staff and, you know, learn and be in a winning program and be a part of what Coach K, the dynasty that he's built.
So can you explain? So you go there last summer, and you start to work out and train with the Duke players, and I say a game face before he went, etc. But can you explain the culture of Duke? What is it? When you get there, what happens to you? What does he create?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a culture of excellence, and you know, it's a winning program. They take pride in the details and just being good people, and you know, Coach really leads by example with that, just instilling being a people person and knowing where the value is, and the value is in the people that you're working with. So, I mean, just being able to build those relationships, it was fun, and I learned a lot, like I said.
So you go there, and it's his last year, and you know it's his last year. How much pressure do you feel as players to try to get him out on top?
We dealt with a tremendous amount of pressure, but, you know, that's what the high-level competitors want, and that's what they ask for, and you know, that's what we got. I mean, we were able to make a deep run and make it to the Final Four. And we had a lot of challenging games in between that. So it was a fun experience. And, you know, to be able to send Coach out the way we did, I feel like we're all pretty proud of that.
What did he tell you in the locker room after his final game? What was that like to be in there?
You know, it was very emotional. But that's what Coach mentioned on. He was like, listen, at the end of the day, I want to be in a locker room with tears of happiness or tears of sadness. And, you know, that's how you really be able to judge that you gave it your all. And, you know, that's what we did. We left it all out on the floor, and things didn't end up turning out exactly how we wanted. But, I mean, we still had a hell of a season. So
And what does he teach you specifically about basketball that separates him? Does he just understand the flow of the game? Is it what?
I mean, it's that and everything in between. He, he's, I mean, his greatness. I mean, the Coach K, he has the name and the weight of the name for a reason. I mean, whether it be shot mechanics to just basically running the offense or running the defense. I mean, his attention to detail and his thoroughness and his dedication to the game is just on another level. So being able to just learn from him and watch him and see how he works, you're going to learn something even if you're not trying to.
Theo John is our guest. Theo, we were talking about this earlier. The transfer portal got you to Duke and this, the NIL. And now I'm sure you are too, hearing the stories of what kids are able to do financially when they transfer and go to places. Did you guys have NIL? Yeah, it was in place. It was legal. But were you able to take advantage of that at Duke? Was there much there? What was that like?
Yeah, so, I mean, NIL, I was able to be there for the first year of it. It was my last year of college. And, you know, it was definitely feeling out a year, I feel like. Some people, you know, felt like they hit jackpots, where others, I mean, didn't really get much. But NIL, it's a great opportunity for the young athletes that are now in college. It's able for them to be able to put food on the plate. And, you know, they had a lot of opportunities and a lot of good program-run resources, but now to be able to have some money in their pocket, they're able to take care of their family, take care of a lot of the stuff that's not offered off the court. So I'm really happy for the young guys, and I mean, I'm excited to see where it goes.
It sounds like now it's kicked in. You mentioned first year is kind of feeling out. Were there many opportunities for Duke basketball players given your high profile?
Yeah, so our main focus was sending out Coach the right way.
Okay.
You know, we kind of knew in the back end of things, if we performed and we prepared at a high level, that money and all that extra stuff is going to come. So we were focused on the opportunity, and we saw, like, the experience in itself was worth, I mean, any paycheck someone could write me. So being able to focus on that and be able to say and tell my kids one day that I put everything into that with no distractions, I mean, I'm happy to say that, even though as far as putting money in my pocket wasn't the best.
The Timberwolves select a Duke player in the first round. Wendell Moore, tell us about him, because I talked to him the other day and he sure spoke highly of you.
Yeah, Dale. I mean, he's a hell of a competitor. I mean, he's going to give it your all. He's going to make sure he's ready for the season, and I'm really excited for him. I know he's eager to learn, eager to get out in Minneapolis and explore a little bit. And yeah, he's going to bring a lot to the team, and I'm really excited for him. I'm really happy for him, and it's a lot of hard work that's gone behind that piece, so I'm excited.
What does he do well? What's his style?
You know, I mean, he's a leader and a competitor, and I mean, he's all around good player, good shooter, great defender. Sees the court amazingly, and I mean, if you watch any Duke game, there's at least three or four highlights in there of him being great. And you know, I'm really excited for him, and to be able to be on this next stage that all of us dream of is, I mean, a dream come true for him, and being able to watch it is just amazing.
Speaking of which, what is next for Theo John right now?
Yeah, so right now we're trying to figure that out. You know, I'm fighting to make an NBA roster. I know me and my agent, we've been exploring a lot of different options, and Summer League is coming up. I was supposed to be playing, but wanted to play it safe with a knee injury that I'm just starting to come back from. So I'm like a few weeks out, so they didn't want me to rush it and be playing in Summer League. So I'm very disappointed about that, because I was looking forward to representing Minnesota. You know, it was almost a dream come true, but it's all in God's time. So I'm excited for what's next for me, and I'm excited to watch the Timberwolves from my couch.
And in the meantime, you trained at Game Face with DeVentry Jordan, right, a trainer?
Yeah. You know, I've been with Game Face since they started, and you know, to see where they've come, partnering with Lifetime, and the people and the resources that they've been able to pull together has been amazing. I mean, it's top of the line training. It's helped me in my performance, and it's also just helped me as a person too, both on and off the court. So that's all you can really ask from a training perspective.
Now, Theo, you also played at Marquette with Dawson Garcia, who has went to North Carolina and then transferred back to University of Minnesota. I know you train with him some right now. What did the Gophers get in Dawson Garcia?
Man, that's another competitor. I mean, he's in the gym all the time, and you know, he's always he loves the grind, loves getting better. I mean, a lot of people missed him out last year when he was supposed to be playing for North Carolina. But I know he's eager to get back out on the court and compete. And, I mean, Minnesota, they they got a stud right there. And I'm excited to see what he does for the state and the Gophers. And it's gonna be fun to watch. He's going to sell a lot of tickets. I know that.
Can he take you outside? Is that part of his game?
Yeah. I mean, he's another all-around player. 6'10", be able to handle the ball, shoot the ball. And, I mean, he's crafty. And, like I said, he's a competitor. So you're going to see that competitive spirit and that fire that he got on the court, I'm sure.
Theo, if somebody had told you, you know, 7, 8 years ago when you were a freshman at Champlain Park that one day you'd play at Marquette and then Duke and then have a chance to play professionally, what has it been like? I mean, do you ever stop and say, whoa, this has been something?
Yeah, you know, I mean, each day is a blessing. You know, there's a lot that comes with it, a lot of trials and a lot of blessings at the same time. So just being able to roll with the punches and, like I say, keep your head down, keep working. And, yeah, it is surreal looking back and seeing where I came from because, again, seventh grade, you would have saw me. I mean, you would have laughed thinking of what I have in the future. But, you know, that's the grind, that's the grit that I have, and that's what's made me who I am. So
you grew into that body, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, again, credit to Game Phase. They helped me a lot with that. So being able to fill out and find out who I am has been part of the journey.
Theo, great to talk to you. Always good to see you, and I hope I see you again soon.
No, likewise. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Theo John. He said a little knee injury, otherwise he'd be with the Timberwolves in the summer league. But if he makes it to the NBA, he and McKinley Wright from the same high school, making it to the NBA. We've already got three kids from Apple Valley, one high school, in the NBA. Wouldn't that be cool if Champlain Park put two in there? I don't know. I'm not saying. I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. All right. Plenty more to come on this edition of Sports to the Max. I saw, by the way, a high school basketball showcase the other night, and they were using the shot clock for the first time. It was pretty interesting at Anoka Ramsey. We'll visit with Ron Larson about that a little bit later, the retiring coach at Anoka Ramsey. He was there kind of helping run the whole thing and what its ramifications and what it will do for high school basketball. Take a break, come back. Sports to the Max or WCCO. Welcome back. Twins take on Baltimore this weekend in a winnable series after, I'm going to tell you this, folks, and I know it's not going to make any sense to you. I know it's counterintuitive to you. I know that it's not what you would expect for me to say, but that's why you tune in, because you want to be one step ahead of it. You want somebody that will go a couple layers deep, somebody that actually grew up playing sports instead of just talking about sports.
I posted on Twitter that I said the Twins need some help with relief pitching.
No. First you play the sport, then when you can't play it anymore, then you go into broadcasting. It's kind of good for all Twins Nation the way things have transpired with the Cleveland Guardians. And you're saying, hold on now. They played 8 games, right? They lost 5. And in all 5, they were late-inning rallies by Cleveland. Today, a walk-off home run. They scored 2 in the 8th and then a walk-off home run by Jimenez in the 9th. And this makes no sense to you, right? But just follow me on this for a minute. Number one, Cleveland called to attention what the Minnesota Twins have to address. And that is, in this case, relief pitching. So they're going to have to figure out a way, and they've still got plenty of time to do this. This is in September. They can figure out how to get a better relief pitching staff there, whether it's from within or trading. They're going to trade for players. Let's be honest. They're going to trade for at least 2 arms out of the bullpen, period. I'm telling you, you know I haven't misled you in the past. You know that I usually know things because people tell me things. You know the drill on this. At least 2 arms before the trade deadline, now they know they need. So in other words, they've identified their problem. That's a healthy thing. Number two, it's made it really, really interesting to follow because now you want to know what Cleveland's doing. And when they play Cleveland, you're going, well, this might be the 7th inning. Twins are up by 5, but I'm going to keep it locked in here to 830 WCCO or stay at the ballpark because I've seen how this movie plays before. And these Guardians, they're not afraid of anything. They could come back and win this game. And that's kind of good for baseball. Because it's, I don't want to call this a rivalry, because I don't think there's a great deal of contempt and hate. Although it was kind of getting there when Jimenez ran around the, you know, and took his victory lap on his home run. But I think this is really good for the baseball fan, because it moves you into an intense area, even though you're upset by what the Twins did. It moves you to an area where they've got your full attention. And I think that both those things are good. Just a thought from somebody that knows just a little bit about the game of baseball, relative to broadcasters, of course, not to people that actually played the game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.